When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This video is brought to you by Astapro.
John, I am so ready.
I can't wait.
Well, well, well. If you guys are listening to us on Apple and Spotify, we just watched Rebel Moon Part Dose.
The Scar Giver.
The Scar Giver. And if you did not see the reaction, you witnessed a journey. There's a real journey there. And I mentioned this on the Patreon intro for the watch along that essentially didn't really want to watch this movie. And to put it as bluntly as possible for filming with John, I was like, let's just see if we can have fun with this. And we said, like, if it ends up being something that happens, you know, open us up or win us over, we'll gladly be open to it. But in right now, I have like exceedingly low expectations. Was not really a big fan of the first one, and I thought this would just be I thought this would be a slog. Yeah, I really did.
Yeah.
And my essential feeling is that I think that this movie, and I feel like we're pretty much on the same page, is that the movie is markedly better than the first one. Oh, yeah. By a lot. what I saw was that I don't know if it has as many reviews, so that might factor in to Rotten Tomatoes, but I saw that it's his lowest one. So I was like, you kidding me?
Really?
This one's worse than Part One. Like, you gotta be kidding me. That's I was like, I have an attitude.
Sure.
And I thought this was so much better. The characters, I actually felt like I knew them.
Yeah.
I knew them. I found myself caring more as the plot kept going. I thought it was exceptionally focused, more, I would say. I felt more of the aura, and I felt the tension in the last hour. I really grew a lot, grew to like Sophia Boutella's character a lot. And the end of it, I was like, damn, I want to see Part Three. And mm-hmm. I did not expect that to have that feeling.
That is the biggest surprise.
Absolutely. Because, I didn't, like, sure, are there moments, and if you watch the reaction, there are totally moments where we were, like, taking the piss out of the film.
Sure.
There was I couldn't even have fun like that in the first one, you know?
It was, the first movie took effort, and I thought that was going to be this, where it's like, I'm usually game for the fun of watching any new movie experience, be it good or bad, but I was expecting this to be one where I'm like, okay, I got to really, like, make sure I focus the energy. And it wasn't, and it drew me in, and I was able to just kind of vibe with it, and it's just so much more well-rounded, and it feels like a real movie.
Yeah.
And so, like, it doesn't reinvent the wheel, and it is, you know, obviously as well-trodden from the first movie experience, you know, it's borrowing from so many things, but I think there is something to be said for the fact that if you have a movie that you allow to breathe, and, you know, you have some skill in terms of, you know, your tone and your scope and everything, you know, you can, it's not about reinventing the wheel, sometimes it's just about rolling it with grace. And the first movie I didn't think rolled it gracefully almost at all, but this movie, you know, I wasn't thinking about all the stuff that was either derivative or, you know, underdeveloped or whatever. Like, this came out to something at least that felt of a piece and of itself, and like it wasn't going to rely on some kind of other auxiliary cut or other media or something like that. Like, I wonder, you need all that context, I suppose, but part of me wonders how this would play if you just watched it on its own.
I think you need some of the context, as it was much easier to get on board right away. Yeah. And, like, the last movie didn't leave me with any interest in the characters. I had no interest in the characters. The world itself, I remember being like, yeah, it's pretty.
That it felt like a very, I felt like empty by the end of that first movie. I didn't do anything for me that left me with any strong feelings whatsoever.
It felt like a bunch of disjointed stuff.
Yeah, and it's like, if you look at Rebel Moon Part 1 and 2, it is essentially just telling that like Seven Samurai story, right? You recruit, go to help save a small village against some big overlords. And Part 1 is the recruiting movie. And then Part 2 is the actual game plan with getting involved with the village. And weirdly, the one that does not cut around to multiple planets and locations outside of flashbacks, and but utilizing the flashbacks to develop your characters and give them some actual backstory where you can be actually interested in them, I was like, oh, this is actually a lot more intriguing. And of course, there were, like, we made jokes throughout a lot of it, whatever. The one thing that I thought that really could have been improved to really just take this to a stronger level was the dialogue. I think the dialogue, we predicted so many lines.
Yeah.
And because the dialogue was very generic. But that doesn't mean the movie didn't have personality, you know?
Well, and sometimes you want, like, sometimes there's a satisfaction to knowing, to anticipating what the line will be. It's just you don't want an excess of that, you know?
Yeah. And, the first chunk of this film was, there was like funny stuff. I thought it was really funny with the string quartet who was violining along to the exact way the scene was done. I'm like, wow, this is very, this is
my slaughter.
This is kind of silly.
Yeah.
The farming sequences and staking just basic farming and then try to make it look super badass was funny.
One was enough, two made it funny.
Yeah. Like stuff that, and it's funny because it's supposed to be really cool.
Yeah.
And so maybe we're not supposed to be laughing, but I would rather take laughing over
boredom.
I'm bored out of my mind.
Being annoyed. Yeah. Or disoriented in a bad way.
Feeling like this is tedious or some shit. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. I would rather take that. But then it was also consistently mixed in with shit that was actually, that I personally thought was good. I thought it got better as it went. By the time baddies show, I think like less time with the bad guys was a smarter call. Mm-hmm. By the time baddies show up at the planet, I felt the tension of how this is all going to go down. We believed because what we were commentating on was when they started showing up. I was like, this is good because I'm here watching this going, I don't know how these guys will beat them.
This, like, is impossible.
Like, this seems like literally impossible, you know?
Yeah.
And then they sold it. They sold the hell out of it.
Yeah.
So they sold the struggle. They sold the fight. Even Korra getting to the ship, that was all, I thought that worked.
Mm-hmm.
The fight going down when the ship is crashing, I love the way that sequence looks and the idea of it, where they have to sword fight while you're sliding down I thought was creative.
While the orientation of the ship keeps changing,
It surprised me. The movie surprised me.
It did.
And how I was actually, keyword, I was entertained. In spite of flaws, kind of throughout a lot of it, I was consistently entertained. I Korra and Guy Gunner falling in love.
Oh, well, all right. I guess it's required to happen.
Sure. Let it happen. I don't give a shit. Like, let it happen. I thought it worked better for that to happen. And his death scene.
Yeah.
As much as I made a couple of jokes there, I was like, this is actually a good death scene.
Yeah. Yeah. There are a lot of good concepts, and the acting goes a long way. I think they have a truly, you know, capable ensemble who can take the things that feel thinner or like they're pulled out of like a comic book page, and they can really sell the emotionality behind that. And in a Zack Snyder universe, you also have to be able to sell like the badass gravitas. But yeah, like that line where she's crying over him and she says that, like, why can't I have this one thing? Like, that actually,
it's a good line. Actually,
that actually got to my heart. And that's about the last thing I expected from a movie.
I got nipple chills with this movie.
Yeah. It actually rose to some occasions.
It did. Ed Screen. Okay, I made a comment during the reaction that I was like, I'll just save it for the review. This other comment was, I didn't feel like Ed Screen needed to come back. We both did. We don't really feel like, because I thought like, oh, he's coming back and he's like supercharged human or some shit. And I'm like, not really.
Just still
it was like a couple of scenes where he showed some display of extra strength. But
I thought they were going to turn him into the guy from Alita Battle Angel or something.
Yeah, or I thought he might have been Way of Water, Stephen Lang.
Oh, yeah.
I thought Stephen Lang was more effective in Way of Water than he was in the first one.
Yes.
And
interesting.
And yeah, I thought maybe they have an opportunity to maybe do something like that. Maybe not make him as like, oh, let's show a more compassionate side. But
maybe actually, death has affected this guy somehow and changed him in some fundamental way.
But it really didn't.
Nope.
And then the other part of me was going, okay, but if I don't look at this as a sequel and as the second half of a longer movie, does it work better? Maybe.
If you look at this as one whole experience, it might seem odd to swap in just a new guy, you know,
yes,
who have no association. I thought they were going to make it so like, oh, Belisarius is coming for us himself, which clearly they're going to leave as a, you know, as fodder,
yes,
to get a sequel, another sequel going.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like it is appropriate to have, you know, some kind of continued conflict with him. And I like, again, his presence, you know, and I think they sold just the fury of the confrontation. But yeah, I mean, I still feel like with all we've seen with him, and they've got him like charged up on all these cables, and we saw him in the other movie, like with tentacle creatures and shit. Like, I don't know. I still think they could have like leveled him up. But at the same time, I wonder if that might have taken something away or stolen focus from just the onslaught of the actual skirmish happening,
yeah,
on the ground. I don't know. There's something that could be improved or better about that. I'm kind of on the fence with it because it's like I liked watching him, obviously. But I was, yeah, sort of continually flip-flopping in terms of, yeah, his presence and what he's adding to the overall story.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring us. So some fun facts about me. I've been seeing an ENT the past couple of months. Got a CT scan done for my allergies, and right now I'm trying to find time to get deviated septum surgery. So like many of you, I am someone who's tried pretty much every nasal spray you can think of because I have difficulty breathing through my nose, which leads to day-to-day and sleeping problems on a consistent basis. So before agreeing to this, I wanted to try them out myself because this is a serious thing I deal with. They provided me with free samples. This is my second bottle. This is without a doubt the best nasal spray I have ever used. That's not some talking point. That's my very own personal testimony. Genuinely, for me, it's fantastic and lives up to how it's advertised. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter solution available. It gets to work in just 30 minutes while other sprays take hours to kick in. It's also the only one out there that's steroid-free for 24-hour relief. Astapro has seriously changed the game for me, offering full prescription strength relief from nasal congestion, runny nose, and sneezing. The difference this makes is phenomenal. It's kind of insane how this relief through my breathing and nostrils just kicks in and I'm back in action really fast. So if you're like me, battling with nasal allergies and looking for relief, get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astapro and go. It's faster with Astapro, bro. I saw that commercial. Astapro, it's faster, bro. That's Astepro allergy.com. Remember, use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies. Thank you again, Astapro, sincerely. Like, in terms of a story and a world, other than, like, the aesthetically blending shit, the world itself is nothing that unique. That is one of the flaws, I think, of the Rebel Moon universe as currently. You know, like I like kind of the, you know, like it's like a buffet of sci-fi fantasy. It's just like,
it's like an Oblivion, yeah, or one of those kinds of movies. Yeah. Yeah. Where it's like a sci-fi salad.
And the only thing I ask is, can you be entertaining? And that was the main thing, was I was entertained, and maybe it allowed for a more entertaining experience. I was able to watch it with you and we were able to like make jokes,
yeah,
about certain moments that maybe I might've been checking out for if I was by myself.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
So that helps, but I think one thing we have to own is that so much of, I think, the uplift in our spirit is due to the fact that I've just had
to be miserable
and just really feeling like this is so much better than the first one.
Yeah.
So I don't, you're catching us in the honest, immediate moment of a reaction. So I'm not going to try to like fantasize about what it would be like if I'm just on its own as a film versus,
yeah, yeah,
you know, not having a dour experience being left with in the last one. Right.
Yeah.
So as it stands as a part two, yeah, I thought way better. Jimon Hounsou, I thought, brought a lot.
Yeah.
Because and that's when I noticed the script was because I was like, these lines are not great, but he is making me really enjoy this
cooking.
Scene.
Yes.
So I think Jimon Hounsou was a much needed elevated presence for this. Like, I felt like he was just in the background. Yeah. I like how when you actually get backstory, they would show flashbacks. That was great.
And it felt appropriate to give him the biggest boost because, like, the ensemble as a whole, the team they've assembled does feel more distinct and ingrained in this movie. But he is clearly the sort of standout who has risen yes. to the front of that pack. And as much as there are times where you're like, I don't even know all their names quite.
I don't know any of their names still. Still don't know. I know Cora and Gunnar because I was like, oh, it's Gunnar?
Yeah. Just because, yeah, because we don't want to, you know, make it too on the nose with him not being able to use guns and being called Gunnar. Yeah.
I do think that is a missing beat with this film.
Sure.
That the village, like when they were training, I'm like, if you're going to be the tropes movie, like... have your village have a little bit of a struggle with learning how to get this shit down.
It just seemed like all the only missing piece was for them to be handed weapons.
Yeah.
And that's all they needed to become an army.
Yeah, because that was the one thing. I mean, it made it easier to buy into. Okay, yeah, I guess they could put up a fight.
But you do want that element of worry of like, oh my God, are they going to be able to, they don't look yeah. in good shape, you know, on the eve of battle. What are we going to do? You
know? I mean, and Sofia Boutella, again, I remember one of my criticisms was I don't feel like she's a star. And this movie made me go, she's a star. Like, yeah. She's a star of this movie. Like, and I thought she was really good.
It's amazing what happens when you have a better rounded movie around you.
Yeah.
Because I feel like this movie helped all of its elements just by virtue of the fact of being just a more breathable, more, you know, gracefully paced event than the first one, especially. I feel like that makes everything work, and that makes it so that you're not focusing as hard on the stuff that is rote or that is familiar.
Zack Snyder often will say something like, I don't know how this, like, did he make the movie he wanted to make? He's making the PG-13. I still feel like this is I feel like the way this movie is paced and edited, I'm very curious to know if when going through the editing bay on this film, because he obviously has like a shit ton of footage, if some of that was retooled in response to the way the first movie was received.
I was wondering that,
because I don't think he did any more photography on the film. I can't imagine he did because of the gap here.
Yeah.
So I don't think that was the case, but I do imagine that him behind the scenes maybe actually did some retooling, because this is shorter than the last one, right? It's shorter, it's tighter, and
it breathes more. It has more breathing.
Yeah.
Like, you have actual moments, like that bit where the villagers are giving them the gifts. That was like a beautiful little character culture moment that is, I think, one of the overlooked aspects of what makes a sci-fi movie like this, and especially a derivative sci-fi movie like this, work, is when you build the cultures rather than just building cool machines.
Agree. And Gunnar was fine. I liked more for what he did for Sofia Boutella. The long hair hippogriff guy. I was more interested in his world that he was part of.
Yeah, I was like, let's go see that.
Than him as a character. He just kind of feels like discount Jason Momoa to me. I'm it's no slight against him as a performer, but as a character, still didn't really. I liked him more here than I did in the last one.
The ensemble is still slight.
Yes.
Yeah.
The girl with Furiosa makeup. again, like a good performer. I didn't really get invested in her character.
I was invested whenever she would show up. And then when she was away, I would be like, I would forget.
Yes. We were talked about Ed Skrein. Mm. A lady who looks like Princess on Planet and guy who defected from bad guys, guy, whatever. That was still whatever to me. Like, no real impact. That was not elevated.
Yeah.
Asian girl with swords. I really like her a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, I think she is a great body language performer.
True.
And the whole thing with bonding with a kid. I love how they chose to keep that very unspoken.
Yeah.
I think she's strong as hell. I do think that her fight was a little lackluster in terms of swordplay and choreography. I'm like, it looks cool when you're like slowing shit down and whatever. Did find that choreography a little lackluster.
Yeah, to give Child of Fire a little bit of a prop, I think the spider fight with her was probably more striking than this one was.
Yeah, I think like they...
In terms of both the choreography and even just the lensing of the whole thing.
Might have been restraint on choreography because, I mean, I'm not expecting a full-blown like martial arts, you know, it has to still be grounded because this is a war battle fight, but I still think they could have done something.
Knowing Zack Snyder and knowing the hearing him talk, I know how much he is motivated by what is cool. I think he could have put a little more cool there.
Yes.
And I wouldn't have batted an eye at that. Zack Snyder makes Zack Snyder movies, and that's one thing I was very much kind of aware of now as opposed to stuff before, is like he has very much just like, he's like one of those bands with his own sound, and he's just only going to do that.
If he knows how to capture enough of a character who, through body language, because he's obviously obsessed with visual imagery and trying to communicate via that way, he can really nail it. And that really comes in the form of Anthony Hopkins is Jimmy.
Mm.
There is something about that goddamn robot. I don't know what it is exactly, but you do get these like multitude of emotions when you respond to him. And that's
real character, like a real guy.
I think big credit to the movie is when we like, because I forget when it was, I joked when he's in the cave, the bat cave, and I said he, like, he's games. Probably going to throw up in like the third act, show up in the third act or something like that. And you're like, probably at the real all is lost moment. And he did. but we were so into it. I was too caught up thinking like, oh, are these two about to die?
Well, I think that's indicative of the strength of this movie, especially versus the first.
Well, he knows how to do like explosion reveals through the smoke really well.
Yeah.
And he does that a lot
There's
in this movie.
So many great elemental transitions. But that's one of those things too, where in a movie that breathes and has an actual pace to it, you can just be caught up in the moment and forget. Like, it does make me fascinated to go back to your earlier question. Like, you watch part one and it kind of gave me like the theatrical BVS experience in a sense, where I watched and I went, I can't imagine with the amount of skill Zack Snyder possesses that he released this cut thinking, this is like how this movie should be, and this is like a good cut of a real film. Just because it after that first half hour, it just becomes this weird montage thing, and it's so jagged and it's so disjointed. And here, you know, it's like you couldn't sell a moment like that, I don't think, in the previous movie unless you relied on the disjointedness, which isn't good to do. You know, isn't like an actual choice. Whereas here, it's again, it's not reinventing the wheel, but a moment like that I think is just indicative of how much stronger this is just as a watchable movie experience, and an experience that you actually can attach something to and get invested in somehow, even if it's just in the immediate moment. And like a moment like that is super gratifying.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like the first movie had a moment like that kind of at all. Like, it had some of the atmospherics, it had some of the momentary imagery. But like, I was happy that this movie actually like got me invested and got me like, you know, whooping a little bit and got me, you know, at least like enjoying being here.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, you know, again, you know, Zack Snyder at this point, I don't feel like he really has need to be, I hope he finds means of challenging himself as a filmmaker moving forward. But at the same time, he seems like he's got his niche and he likes to do that. And this got me interested in seeing what a director's cut might look like, whereas the first movie made me never want to watch a Rebel movie ever again. So I'm really curious to see what this looks like when those director's cuts come out and how different they might be. Because again, like I would love to know if they recut this or if they altered it in any way leading up to the release of the second movie, just because, again, this risk, this gamble of cutting these in half and making these PG-13, and there's R, like, it just seems like so much mess is created by that process when you could just be making a good movie.
Sure.
You know, and I don't know. I just hope for what if this does proceed as a franchise, I hope they maybe drop that part and just commit to making one good movie.
Yeah.
Because it is a little exasperating having, you know, this weird dance with Zack Snyder stuff where you got to watch every movie like five different times and there's like no definitive cut until there's finally like 10 cuts down the line. You know, it's wild. But at the same time, this at least didn't leave me with the feeling of like, man, we're putting all our resources into this.
Yeah. I mean, overall, market improvement. We do got to get out of here. I do think, you know, all the same carryover stuff from the technical side, visuals. I think visuals are really good here.
Great.
And the music by Tom Holkenborg, amazing as always. Mm-hmm.
Great design work.
I'm surprised. I was surprised by how much more enjoyable of a film this was.
The Joy Giver.
But what do you guys think? Leave your thoughts down below. Is it better? Is it worse? Do you still not give a shit? Leave your thoughts. Would love to hear them, especially on this one. Be sure to subscribe and leave a like, and we will catch you soon. Reject Nation, thank you for being here.